What's up, y'all? This is Asher Bird. Thank you so much for tuning in. Had the privilege to share with Upper Room Young Adults, and we parked on the Great Commission and talked about how it's our great permission slip. And my prayer today is that as you are listening is that the Lord would give you fresh faith and hope for the hour that we are living in. We've all been called to go, and we never truly know the weight behind the yes that we are giving. That's what I talk about in this message. And so I am praying that it blesses you and that the Lord gives you fresh faith and hope. Once again, thanks for tuning in.
Awesome. Well, guys, what's up? Before we jump into a bit of a message, I just want to invite actually Nate back up here. He's going to share a few testimonies of what God's been doing on the road. We are doing a 50-state tour. For those of you who don't know, I'm going to share about that a little bit more, what that looks like. But we've just been seeing God move in incredible ways all across America. And the more states that we go to, the more hope and faith hits our hearts for what God wants to do in Gen Z and in America. So Nate's going to share a couple testimonies of what that's been looking like.
Yeah, well, man, it has just been so amazing just to see everything the Lord has been doing. And I just want to share real quick why we share testimonies. And it's simply just remembering what God has been doing, what the Lord is doing. And it's also just to really stoke faith of if the Lord can do this in nations, then he can do it here in Dallas. If the Lord can raise up so many of Gen Z and so many believers to be set on fire for missions and set on fire to see him come and receive the reward, then he can do the same thing here in Dallas. He can do the same thing here in Texas. He can do the same thing here in America. And so I just want to read, I have two testimonies. And I just want to read this out, and I just believe that so much faith is going to arise from this room of really being able to see this here in Dallas too. So this is actually a testimony from one of the YWAM teams from a few weeks ago, and it's just this wild story. So I'm just going to read it word for word essentially. Said, we went out to go door-to-door evangelism, and at the first house that the group stopped at, there was a Muslim woman and her son that came out. We had asked her if we could pray for her and talked with her. And one of the teammates got a word that she was struggling with her sleep and bad dreams. She told us that that was true. So we prayed for that, as well as her and her son had really red, swollen eyes. And then also we just prayed a blessing over her to know Jesus. Afterwards, she was so blessed and appreciated it so much. She and her son both said her eyes felt so much better. We then shared the gospel with her and asked if this was something that she would want. And she said, yes, she wants Jesus. She told us that she had been a Muslim, but didn't want to follow all of those things and didn't agree with a lot of it. So her and her son ended up receiving Jesus. She invited us back the next day to speak to her husband and the rest of the family. So the next day we came back, and unfortunately the husband wasn't there yet, but she came running out to us super joyful and told us that their eyes were completely healed. She had no more, amen. She had no bad dreams or demonic visitations anymore. And she told us that she had a disease and that yesterday when we had prayed for her, it went away. She told us the name of Jesus is so powerful. After that, I was asking the Lord if he would allow us to meet the husband and so we could talk to him. And literally 2 seconds later, he walked around the corner from his farm. So we got to preach the gospel to him. He received Jesus. Then we gave him an SD Bible, and he said he was going to listen to it with his family. Guys, this is literally, yeah, come on. Literally, it's so crazy that God, like, we see God is on the move, and he's not stopping at culture, he's not stopping at any sort of religious belief, but that he's actually taking over. And I want to say something about this testimony is guys, this is a Muslim family. Like, they could get, like, disowned, they could be, like, put out from society simply by saying Jesus or simply by reading this Bible, but they didn't care. Like, God was moving in their hearts, and so it's just so crazy. But this last testimony is a testimony of healing again, and it's actually from, I believe it was on Monday, we had the chance to go to the One Voice Farm, and it was so amazing. At the end of the night, this guy had come up to me, and he said, or me and a few others, and he said that he had torn his ACL, is that what it is? ACL and his Achilles. And so literally when he would walk, he would feel a pain, so much pain. And we said, okay, well, how much is the pain from a scale of 1 to 10? And he said, it's about a 7 or 8 on a normal. And so we were just filled with faith. And so we said, okay, let's pray for it. We began to pray. And even before we stopped praying, we just began to see him tear up. And so we finally were able to talk to him. And he said, there is no pain left. No pain left. Guys, our God is on the move. Our God still heals. And so guys, what I actually just want us to do really quick is just stand up. Because I believe the only response that we can give to this is just giving God the glory. And so just in your own words, just for a few seconds, would you just give glory to the Lord for what's been happening?
Yes, God.
Yes, Jesus, we give you praise. We give you all the honor for what happened. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Jesus, this could not have happened without you. So Jesus, we just give it all back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, guys, would you just turn to the person next to you and ask him, just tell him, are you ready for a little bit more? Hopefully the answer that you guys had was yes. I'm hoping that's your answer. That's your response. Because guys, I'm so expecting, like what Chase was saying, so expecting for what the Lord is. He's already moving in the room, but what he's going to continue to do in our hearts. And I just feel such expectancy for what he wants to freshly pour out into our hearts. But before we jump into a brief message, I just wanted to honor Chase and just say how much I love you, bro. So thankful for you. Guys, I feel like, I'm sure all of you guys feel the same way, but every time that I leave one conversation with Chase, I'm more hungry for Jesus. And I just feel like Chase is someone whose heart is completely bent towards the Lord and bent towards the things of God. And so I'm so inspired by you, Chase. I'm so thankful for your voice in our generation. And also just want to honor this house. Upper Room is incredible. I feel like I'm Upper Room's biggest fan. Maybe some people are like, no, I'm a bigger fan. You can come talk to me afterwards. We'll see who's really the biggest fan. But I just love this place so much. I'm so thankful for all that God does in this place. So thankful for the hours and hours and years of prayer that have happened in this very room. So thankful for the hours and hours of just ministering to the Lord's heart day after day after day. And just so thankful for this house. And funny story, but the Millers are also some of our dearest friends. We've become really close, and it was a funny story, but I'll explain a little bit in a bit, but we went on a road trip, and you guys probably, I'm sure all of you guys experienced like Delaska, the snowpocalypse that happened in 2020, beginning of 2021. So we were supposed to stay at the Miller's house for like 2 days. This is our first time meeting them. I mean, they're an incredible family. But we're just supposed to be there for like 2 days. Ended up being like 10 days because we got snowed in and there was not a single hotel room that we could go to. So we had to stay with them, but it was the biggest blessing. So just love the Millers so much. Love this house so much. I just want to honor the leaders here and just feel so honored to be with you guys here tonight. And before we jump in, ever since we've been in prayer in the back there, there's just this verse that's been highlighted. As you guys know, it's Good Friday. But in Philippians 2, you guys can turn there with me. I'm sure everyone already knows this verse. But Philippians 2 and 5 through 8, and it says that you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, even death on a cross. And what I want to highlight and what I feel like the Lord wants to do in our hearts tonight, and I just keep hearing this phrase, and I can't get rid of it. I just keep hearing this phrase, simple obedience changes history. And tonight is when Jesus went to the cross. And we see in Philippians 2 that it was out of obedience that he went to the cross. How many of you guys are thankful for the yes that Jesus said and gave to the Father? How many of you guys are thankful for the yes that arose in Jesus' heart to say yes to the cross and yes to the Father's will? Because that yes forever changed the trajectory of humanity. Forever changed our lives. And that's what I want to highlight tonight, is that we never really will know what the weight is of the yes that we are giving. We never really will know. But I believe that even out of this room tonight, the yeses that are going to come out of this room will change the very trajectory of nations. I believe that because of the yeses that are said in this room tonight, that arise out of this room tonight, Dallas is never going to look the same. I believe that because of the yeses that come out of our hearts tonight, unreached people groups will hear of the name of Jesus. I even believe that some of us in this room, I know this may sound crazy, I believe that some of us in this room tonight are gonna have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone who has never heard the name of Jesus before. Because guys, here's the reality. 3.2 billion people have still never heard the name of Jesus. Guys, we can't be okay with this statistic any longer. And I believe that in our generation, that's gonna completely change. That there is a shift that is coming. And so I just want us to, as we jump in, and my goal of tonight is that we would all walk out of this room tonight with a little bit more faith for what God wants to do in Gen Z. A little bit more faith for what he wants to do in our own lives. And hope for what is to come. Because I believe, guys, and I know I'm not alone when I say this, I know this is all within our hearts already. We are on the cusp of another move of God in America. I refuse to believe that God's done with America. I refuse to believe that God's done with Gen Z. And I believe that the greatest awakenings, the greatest moves of God for this nation are still ahead. We've yet to experience them. It's like that iceberg moment, like that tip of the iceberg, but underneath the water is this massive iceberg. I feel like, guys, we are on the tip of the iceberg, but we're about to see the fullness of what God wants to do. I want to share briefly just with you guys just the storyline of where the 50-state tour comes from, because I believe this is what God is really, it's just one story that God is writing within Gen Z. And I feel like many storylines similar to this one are going to come out of this room, and God's already writing them. And honestly as well, I just want to preface as well, I know this is already within all of our hearts. Like I came into this room, this is a room that's hungry and willing to go anywhere for the sake of the gospel. Feels like home. And I feel like this is all within our hearts. And my goal tonight is to just give a little bit more language for what God's doing in our hearts. But fast forward to about 3 years ago, me and my family in the beginning of January of 2021 began to start praying and asking God if we should go to, we felt like the Lord was leading us to do a tour across America. And really felt like, you know, in the shaking of 2020, what was happening, that it was time to get new wineskins for what God was doing in America. So went on this road trip for about 2.5 months. That's the road trip we got snowed in with the Millers. So many things came out of that trip. So much fruit, so many amazing memories that me and my family were able to make, and just saw God move in incredible ways all across America. We came back from that, and I'm from YWAM Kona. Any YWAMers here? Let's go. Okay, come on. So I'm from part of YWAM Kona. That's where I'm from, Kona, Hawaii. And my dad is, my parents have been staff with YWAM for 20 plus years now. For those of you who don't know what YWAM is, just to briefly explain, it's a missions organization that trains and sends young people. And so been a part of this for my whole life. And my dad was, he helps bring leadership to the campus that we're a part of there in YWAM Kona. So we got back from this trip. He was in catch-up meetings, and in that meeting was Lauren Cunningham, the founder of YWAM, amazing man of God. And I just want to highlight again, like I said, simple obedience changes history. People would say that Lauren is probably one of the fathers to the modern missions movement. And guys, honestly, I'd say I'm only able to stand up here tonight because of the yes that came from Lauren's heart. Because Lauren was willing to look past what was happening in his day and actually see that, no, young people actually do have permission through the Great Commission to go to the nations. I don't think he knew, of course, at first, by the yes that he was giving in his heart, that it would lead to what YWAM is now. He was just being obedient to what God was laying on his heart. And I want to highlight that again tonight. Lauren's yes led to the very fruit of this 50-state tour and the very fruit of probably many of our lives. Many of us in this room today, because of Lauren, many of us are able to actually say to and have opportunity to go to the nations because one man was willing to believe that God could use young people to reach the unreached. And so Lauren's in this meeting with my dad, and pretty out of the blue, he was like, I wasn't in this meeting at the time, but he's like, hey, I got a challenge for Asher. By 21, I preached in every state in the U.S. He was like, I challenged him to do the same. So then my dad comes home and tells me this. And guys, I got to be honest with you. I'm 16 years old at the time. My plan for my life is graduate, which by the grace of God, I was able to graduate high school, do a DTS, and then God will reveal the rest. And DTS is basically the schools that YWAM runs. So this is the plan I have for my life. And so when this came into my heart at 16 years old, a challenge from Lauren, I felt so humbled and honored, felt all these emotions. It was like, Lord, I don't even know what to do with this. I have no grid for what a tour looks like. go to every state in the U.S. to preach the gospel. Like, where do I even start with that? And so I don't know if you guys have ever done this before, but you kind of just put a word in the prophetic shelf. You're like, Lord, if you want this to happen, you're going to make it happen. So I put it in the prophetic shelf, and fast forward about 2.5 months, and Lauren helps me take real steps of action with this. Took time, about like 5 hours out of his day, to spend time with me. And he's all he said before this meeting was, all you need to do is bring a map and an open heart. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's over. I don't know what's about to go down in this meeting, but I know I'm not gonna walk out the same. And basically for 5 hours, he just shared stories of what God had done in America decades before, and then began to cast vision for what my tour could look like. But again, guys, zero grid for what a tour would look like. I gotta be honest with you, I just learned how to use Google Sheets last fall. Like, this is how unqualified I was to do this. And so I came out of that meeting. I don't have much language for what God did in my heart that day, but what I do know is that there was a real fear of the Lord that came with this assignment that God was giving me. And I knew at some point in my life that I would do this. And almost to the point of, if I didn't do it, it'd be disobedience. What I want to say to us tonight, and I want to challenge us, if the dream for your life right now is attainable on your own strength, I want to challenge you tonight, Upper Room Dallas, dream bigger. Dream bigger. If the dream that you have for your life right now is pretty attainable on your own understanding, I want to invite you tonight to ask God for the dreams that are on his heart. Because his dream is every tribe, every tongue, every nation, declaring that salvation belongs to Jesus. And so when I came out of this meeting, again, fast forward another, I'm jumping a lot here, but 2.5 years, and did my DTS in South Africa, which I would highly recommend, guys, do a DTS. I know it's a shameless plug. You will never regret giving 6 months of your life towards seeing God move in the nations of the earth. Guys, there's like no greater joy than to see God move in the nations. Came out of that, started praying, because I knew this was the next big thing. Again, still no grid for what a tour would look like. Don't have much vision, don't know the timing. I just know God spoke. And so he's gonna make it happen. And he did. But came out of DTS and started praying and felt real urgency. Felt that 2024 is the year to launch. So over the summer, we built the team, which that's the guys that were just standing up here with me, and I just wanna honor them. They are incredible. Totally some of my heroes, and it's just such an honor to roll with these guys. So challenged by you guys. And I could have never dreamed that when I got that initial challenge from Lauren that I would be able to travel with people like them. And so we've been traveling together. This is our 12th state now. We just hit 10,000 miles. We've been on the road for about just over 2 months. And guys, what we are seeing God do right now is incredible. And guys, only God could write a story like this. This is not something that we could write. We feel so honored and privileged to get to partner with his heart, but I wanna invite you guys as well into this same storyline. That God is inviting all of us into this, whatever it looks like. That he's calling all of us into this storyline that he is writing. I wish I could go around the room right now tonight and tell each and every one of you, you have a call over your life. God is calling you right now. We need your voice in this hour. Because we're all being called into this, because there's great urgency for the hour that we are living in, and this urgency needs to be met with faith. And I believe that it's being met with faith. If you guys want to turn with me to Matthew 28. Who loves the Great Commission? Come on. Who's thankful for the Great Commission? So good. I'm sure all of us have heard this before, but I just want us to kind of put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples here in this moment. They've just experienced Jesus die on a cross. 3 days later, he's rose from the grave. And now it's like, I think they say it's about 40 days from Jesus' resurrection to his ascension. And these are the very last words that Jesus says to his disciples who he's walked with for about 3.5 years. They've done life together, guys. They've had meals together. They've prayed for the sick together. They've slept in the same rooms together. Like, they have done life with Jesus. And these are his very last words to them. So you gotta notice there's some weight to these words that Jesus is saying. There's weight to all the words that Jesus is saying, but there's significance to what Jesus is saying in this very moment. And I also want you to think about, I don't know about you guys, but when someone close, whether it's a family or a friend, passes away, you usually think back to the last conversation, the last moments that you had with them. So I want us to think about in this moment, this is a very significant moment for the disciples. And I doesn't say, but I like to think that this was probably going through their minds as they waited for the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. That these words were probably going through Peter's mind as he stood up and declared and shared the gospel, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. And so here are the words that Jesus, I just want to invite you, actually close your eyes. I want you to picture that you are one of these disciples receiving this commissioning from Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And what's amazing about these very words is 2,000 years later, we are still being commissioned by these very words. 2,000 years later, we still have permission to preach the gospel. Guys, let the Great Commission be your very permission slip. Some of us would say that the very mission of God begins at the Great Commission, but it actually dates much farther back to that. And it starts at page one of the Bible, which if you guys want to turn there, you can. But starts at the very first page of the Bible. We all know the story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and his plan was that his goodness would go throughout the earth, that the Garden of Eden would go throughout the earth. We know the story, right? We messed up. We fell short of the glory of God. And ever since that very moment, God began his redemption plan for humanity. Guys, he is the missionary God. He is the missionary God. And if you flip a few more pages, and we begin to see that we were created in the image of God. And so you got to ask yourself the question, if God is a missional God and I'm called to bear his image, then I'm called to be missional as God is missional. Then I'm called to be a being of mission as God is the missional God. And I want to say to you guys tonight as well that it doesn't necessarily mean that all of us are called to the nations, though I'm praying that many of us would be, but it means that we are all called to preach the gospel, that we are all called to whatever context God has called us to be missionally minded. Is that a word? Missionally, we'll make it a word. And we're all called to be evangelistic to wherever God is calling us, whether it's Dallas, whether it's Central Asia, whether it's North Africa, whether it's wherever our workplace may be, we've all been called to preach the gospel to all creation. And I wanted you to notice as well, you see that in the Great Commission, Jesus does not give a list of things that you have to be in order to be called. There is no list, there is no specification. He says, calls all of us, commands all of us to go. I want to invite you guys tonight to allow the inclusivity of the Great Commission to melt away every excuse and every disqualification that you've held up about why you can't be used by God. Whatever it may be. Oh, I'm not extroverted enough. I'm not the right Enneagram. Whatever the excuse may be, guys, there is no qualification. There is no disqualifications in the Great Commission. There's no hindrances. This is good news, guys. We've all been called into this. What a joy that we get to partner with Almighty God. What a joy that we get to partner with the King of Glory, and that he calls all of us into this, and that we've all been qualified. Isn't this good news, guys? Also want to just point out too how we see in the Great Commission that this is quite bold, these words that Jesus is saying to us. Like, it's definitely, maybe some of you in this room tonight, and you're like, this is making me a little bit uncomfortable. Makes you a little restless in your seat, but that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to tap into the missional DNA that's inside of all of us. The Great Commission commands us to go. The Great Commission is meant to stir us to go. It's meant to make us feel uncomfortable. Because guys, I don't know about you, but I've never once found in my Bible safe Christianity. We're not called to save Christianity. We're called to live lives of uncomfortability. And these words are uncomfortable. They're meant to get up in our face. They're meant to ruin us for the normal. They're meant to change our lives. They're meant to change the trajectory of where we're going. My prayer tonight is that go would mean something different to us tonight. One of my favorite quotes that Lauren Cunningham would always say is that go means a change of location. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean the nations, but it does require us to go. And all of us have been called into this. I wanna share a couple of statistics just with you guys, just to bring you into the reality of where we are right now with our generation. And I want you to know too, like, some of these statistics are sobering, just to see where we're at right now. But we can't lose hope. And I think with things with statistics is that they're meant to show where God really wants to bring breakthrough. Statistics, headlines, they don't define us. How many of you guys know God has a different definition for Gen Z than what the world has to say? Here's some statistics. Are you guys still with me? Yeah. You're probably like, what the heck? Why is he bringing up statistics right now? Thought I graduated high school. Is there anyone in high school in the room would love to know? Just raise your hand. Amazing. Let's go. Come on. I just believe the youngest are going to lead us. So I just want to say to you guys, the youngest in the room, you have full permission. Lead us. All right. I shared this earlier with you guys, but the reality is that when we go to bed and we lay our head on the pillows tonight, 3.2 billion people still have never heard the name of Jesus. I want you to picture this with me for a moment. Let's say that all of us in this room and every single person that professes Jesus as Lord were to go and share the gospel with every single person we come into contact with, not just people that we know. So I'm talking about that McDonald's drive-thru worker. Literally all of us were to share the gospel. Guys, we would experience full-blown revival. I mean, that would be incredible. But here's the reality. 2.5 billion people would still never hear the name of Jesus. And here's why, because there's not a single known Christian where they are. There's not a church where they are. Most of them, they don't have a single word of the Bible in their own oral mother tongue. They don't have a single word of the Bible in their, not oral mother tongue, sorry, mother tongue. That means no John 3:16, no 1 Corinthians 13, no Philippians. They have none of the word of God in their own language. Guys, this is an injustice. We have to put an end to this. Here's another statistic just of where we're at as a generation. Every 40 seconds, someone takes their own life. Suicide is the second leading death in the world for ages 15 to 24 years old. Can't let this happen. This can't be a statistic any longer in our generation. We can't let this be a thing any longer. We've got to see this thing drop. Guys, I believe Gen Z is gonna be suicide free. I don't know about you guys, but I'm believing for a suicide free generation. Gen Z is one of the most cause-oriented generations ever. What this means is that we take real steps of involvement and engagement within social, economic, and political causes. I don't know about you guys. I can't think of one greater cause than the cause of the gospel going forth to every tribe, every tongue, and every people. I can't think of a greater cause than to share the gospel with all creation. Here's the hopeful thing that God is doing in the midst of all of this that he's raising up in our generation. 82% of Christians between the ages of 13 and 18 say it's important for them to share their faith. And nearly 80% have had a conversation about faith with someone in the last year. According to Barna, which means nothing to you guys, just citing my sources here. According to Barna, over half of US teens, they feel motivation to learn more about Jesus. This includes non-believers. Over half of teenagers in America have a motivation to learn more about Jesus. This is crazy. Here's another one. Barna also has an article that says 52% of Gen Z committed Christians, when asked if they would consider foreign missions as an occupation, said yes. Guys, could it be that God is raising up Gen Z to be one of the most missional and evangelistic generations that we've ever heard of in history? This is exactly what he's doing. I believe we're gonna see the Great Commission fulfilled in our day, but it's gonna take all of us to go. It's gonna take all of us to give our yes to God. Guys, he's just looking for ones that are willing and obedient. He's not looking for those that have degrees and those that are smartest in the room. He's just looking for the one that's got the willingness in their heart to go anywhere for the sake of the gospel. All he needs is your yes, your unshakable yes. And it's amazing what he can do with that. You don't need a stage or a microphone or a platform. All he needs is your yes. Simple obedience changes history. We'll never know the weight that's truly behind our yes. And ultimately, it's not these statistics that are gonna compel us to go. It's the love of Jesus that compels us to go. We read about the life of Jesus in the Gospels. You see constantly he was inconvenienced in his time to stop for the one. Went all the way through Samaria, despite cultural and marginalization and cultural differences, went all the way through Samaria. Why? All for the heart of the Samaritan woman at the well. Crossed an entire lake. Why? For the demoniac, to set him free. Constantly, Jesus allows his heart to be overtaken by compassion that leads to action. And that's the compassion that I feel he wants to grip our hearts with tonight. I want to invite the worship team back up. I want to end tonight in a story, a personal story with you guys. And I was about 12 years old. And like I said, I grew up on a missions base. So one of the privileges I got to have is my dad would take me on trips to the nations. And so he invited me on this one trip to the Himalayas. And I was 12 years old at the time and told me that we were going to be trekking Bibles into unreached villages, which I got super excited about. And but again, I'm 12 years old at this time, so I don't really have a real grid for what this really means. So we hop on a plane, we land in the capital city of this nation. We ended up taking another tiny little plane where you could see all of the like the things that the pilot was using. This thing looked like it was straight out of like World War II. I don't even know how this plane got off the ground. And as we were coming into land, I mean, there's just these beautiful mountains, but like, I didn't know if we were gonna be able to land. Like, we honestly were like, we'll see if we are able to land. We'll see how this pilot is. I don't even know if he has his pilot's license. Who knows? But we're on this rickety plane. We land into this remote area of the Himalayas. Beautiful. Some of the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And I remember that night we got out this small map, and this map had tiny little villages on it. And this was like a very specific map for a very specific region that we were in this nation. And I remember we were like, okay, we're gonna wake up tomorrow early morning. We're gonna hike this massive mountain. And on the other side of this valley, there's this village, and that's where we're gonna go distribute Bibles. So next morning, woke up at the crack of dawn, 12 years old at the time, probably feeling really tired in this moment. And there's amazing, this guy brought like a whole bag of like Cliff bars and like energy bars and like chocolate bars. So that's what I lived off this whole day. It was just trail mix and like all these different snacks. Praise God for those snacks. And I remember, I don't know if you guys have ever been on a hike where like you start climbing up the mountain and you just begin to see like the summit and you're like, oh my gosh, we're almost there. So we start climbing up this mountain and start to see like we're getting to the top. And as we come over this top, it's like, oh my gosh, there's another summit. And as we keep climbing up, we go false summit after false summit after false summit. And finally, we get to the top of this mountain. We drop down into the valley. And as we walk into this valley, the valley just opens up. And there's these massive grass hills on both sides. I just remember being like taken by breath, taken away by the beauty of God's creation. And then right in the middle of this valley is this tiny village of like 20 or 30 people. So we walk into this village so expectant for what God's gonna do with Bibles that are in their language, ready with the gospel in our hearts. Not the most qualified to go, guys, but willing to go. So we walk to this village, share the gospel, deliver Bibles to this village. A ton of them end up giving their lives to Jesus. And guys, the only reason that we went is because missionary God has never stopped burning for a relationship with those people. To the world, this village matters nothing. There's nothing that this village can offer to the world. But to Jesus, it mattered everything. So much so that he would send us to go there. Here's the story, gets even crazier. About a couple years later, one of the main village, like the head of the village guys was there. And he ended up giving his life to Jesus, was freaking out when he was able to listen to the Bible in his own mother tongue. And a couple of years later, one of the guys that was on the trek there with us, have you guys ever heard of Voice of the Martyrs magazine? It's basically like this Christian amazing magazine. He looks at a Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and on the front of the cover is this old man with massive basket full of Bibles. And he realized that was the very guy that we had distributed Bibles to, and he had given his life to Jesus in that very night. I want us to realize, guys, we had no idea when we were going to this village what this would lead to. But this man got so gripped for the gospel, put a bunch of Bibles in a basket, and began to go to even more unreached villages to share the gospel with these people. Simple obedience changes history, guys. We never know what will be behind the weight of our yes that we give. God's just looking for a yes tonight, guys. I want to give us an opportunity to respond. First, if you're in this room, give us an opportunity to say yes to two things tonight. If you're in this room and you're realizing that you've actually never given your life to Jesus, you've never made him Lord of your life, and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart tonight, or I want to say this as well, if you have given your life to Jesus, but you've kind of been backsliding, if you're being honest, You want to rededicate your life to Jesus, to say, I'm all in. You want to give a fresh yes to Jesus, whether it's the first time or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, then I just want to invite you to come to the front. If that's you, so give us a moment to respond. This yes will change your life forever. It will change the very destiny of your life. If you are in this room and you want to make things right with God, if you want to rededicate your life to Jesus tonight, I just want to invite you to the front. Let's count down from 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, here's the second call tonight. If you're in this room right now and you feel the Lord is burning on your heart a fresh yes, to say yes, you're willing to go anywhere for the sake of the gospel, whether it's Dallas, whether it's South America, whether it's Central Asia, wherever it may be, maybe it's to your family, maybe it's to a certain friend, maybe it's to your high school, but if you feel like God is laying in your heart tonight a fresh yes, you wanna go all in, and you're willing to go anywhere for the sake of the gospel, come what may, we will obey. If that's something that you wanna give tonight to Jesus, then I just wanna invite you to stand up and come to the front. Jesus, here we are tonight, God. The same heart cry like Isaiah, as he saw you high and lifted up. Here am I, send me, God. Here we are, God, send us. Use us, God. Just want to invite you to ask God right now what that specific thing he's calling to you. What's that village of 20 or 30 people he's calling to you right now? Lord, I just pray right now, God, would you show us people groups? Would you speak nations to us right now? Specific people that we are to share the gospel with, Lord. Even see this picture right now. I feel like God is, for some people in this room, I feel like you're beginning to see the very border of a nation being drawn. The Lord's drawing this in your mind right now. Oh Lord, open our eyes to see what you are calling us to.